Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are made possible by Westchester Talk Radio, produced, first of all, by Shark of Creative. You see the Shark of Creative logo on the wall behind me in orange and blue. It's Shark with a C, not a K, made possible by our good friends over at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center. At Entergy, they promise to continue to support our communities right through April of 2021. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. And Hightower Westchester. At Hightower, they manage your wealth to a fiduciary standard. Here we are on the beat in Westchester, our election postscript here. We are joined by John Bailey. John Bailey, the editor and publisher of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter at WhitePlainsCitizenNetReporter.com. John Bailey, this is the year of the endless election day and election season, especially when we talk the national presidential election. I look at states, here we are a few days after the election now, like in Nevada, an Arizona, a Georgia, that aren't that big overall. And I say, gee, what's the problem getting the votes counted?
They just don't have enough people.
Is that the problem?
I think so.
So why not get enough people? Where does this money come from to be able
to? It costs money to do that. They probably got too much more votes than they had expected.
Than expected in a presidential race like this, where we saw early voting, how many people were coming out nationally. Don't you adjust on a local level after a certain point and say, hey, wait a second, we might get overwhelmed on election day?
Mm-hmm. I think, well, you and I would.
Yeah.
We're not politicians.
We're not bureaucrats.
That's right.
Right.
We're used to making decisions every minute.
Right.
What we do with our time. Politicians like to lay decisions as soon as possible, as long as possible. That's their mindset.
It's kind of like de Blasio in New York City laying off some city payments to different workers. He pushed it back once till now. He's pushing things back again. Is that the way of just how government works in so many different facets?
Well, they make deals, and then the union gets upset, so they have to restructure the deal. Union cooperates, and the union gets something of what they want, and generally hold the pressure. I mean, you're talking about the school payment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
de Blasio says he saved money for the city, maybe today, but not in the long run. Then if you add interest to it, too. I don't know. I mean, my bank wouldn't go for that, if you know what I mean. So,
well, on the other hand, there is always the immense bonding factor in taking care of debt problems or shortfalls. And in fact, this is what Westchester County should do with their deficit. They should just bond for it. Everybody makes a pile on the municipal bonds on Wall Street. They keep everybody happy. And they say, we fixed the budget. But they haven't made a decision as to how they're going to do that.
All right. So now this is 3 days after the election. 3 days. Let's take that part one more time. 3, 2, and 1. All right. So this is 3 days after the national election now.
Yeah.
And I just, before we started this show, saw something on TV that said absentee ballots in places like Nevada and Georgia are still coming in, and there's time for them to come in. And I think it's in Nevada where they are awaiting about 4,000 absentees from military people, or at least they could still get up to 4,000. And I saw someone make a suggestion in Arizona that you can still drop off your ballot at an official polling site a few days later. And somebody said to me, well, the election's over. You can't do that. And I said, well, I guess there's something in the Arizona state law that says you can do this, that there's a way to do this. So does this vote counting go on now another 4 years? I know the networks would love this because of all the advertising they could sell.
That's for sure. Well, it is interesting because all week long we've gotten things that were put out by the states. They're saying, well, we should be completed by noon. Then it's completed by the evening. Then it's completed next day. And we're just not getting correct counts of the votes left to be counted. All of a sudden, they find more votes. This sounds like Illinois back in Mayor Daley's day, doesn't it?
And Georgia just says, well, I guess it's so close, we got to recount now.
So, yeah. However, the Pennsylvania deal basically negates the need to take Georgia or the other two, Arizona or another.
Unless there is a recount there, too, and we could have a recount in, I don't want to use the word massive, but let's say certainly in more than several states, the way things look right now. And this is not what you want in a presidential election, really in any kind of election. You want a winner, you want a loser, you want a declaration, and we move on and prep for the next administration.
Unless you want to win at any cost.
You want to win at any cost, there's no doubt about that.
And most politicians want that, and no more so than Mr. Biden's opponent.
So as we look locally here in Westchester now, how did the absentee mail-in balloting system work in Westchester? And going to the polls, how effective was that on Election Day? Were we properly staffed, at least in this county, on Election Day?
No. I mean, people waited an hour to vote. They got lined up at about 6 in the morning at the White Plains High School polling place, very busy place, and it took them an hour to vote, even though they were in line at 6. But by 10 a.m., when everybody has gone to work that's going to work, okay, you could vote and walk in, okay?
So, but isn't it natural that in a race like this, such a historic presidential race especially, or you have a key race in the 40th Senate District in Westchester or the 93rd Assembly District in Westchester, to have an overflow of people so early to get it done and to have lines like that? At least they're not 4, 5, 6 hour lines.
Yes, the early voting was not well staffed. It was not well machined. Okay, at the Board of Elections in White Plains, New York, USA, the only polling place for White Plains during early voting, they had 7 machines and people still waited an hour and a half and sometimes 3.5 hours to vote. My partner,
I have to go with you on that, because with the early voting in a locale like a White Plains, you can't do it all in just one place. Or could you, like they did, maybe for next time they'll say, all right, we got to open at least 3 places.
No. That's exactly what they have to do. And they have to have early voting open for more days. You can't open it 10 days before the election. You have to open it in, say, October the 1st. That would be a month.
What about the argument that says a lot of people, especially in this presidential race, maybe not in New York, but a lot of places around the country, for example, many people waited until the last moment to decide. So if I cast my ballot October 21st and come November 2nd, day before Election Day, I'm changing my mind. What do I do? Now, I know in some states...
Well, if you have to change your mind in this election, then you have no mind. Everybody knows if you are really for what Mr. Trump has done, you want him regardless. If you cannot stand what Mr. Trump has done, you are against him. Regardless. I mean, there is no middle ground here. That's why it's a 50-50 split right down the middle of the nation right now.
Why do we see so much polling that seems to be off the mark? 2 elections in a row now, nationally, with the presidential race. We saw...
Because people lie.
There you go.
Or people... You don't want, if you're a really nice, beautiful, young, suburban woman, you're not going to say, I love Trump. No. You're not going to do that. Or
average,
say a...
Guys like you and me, we work in this business. We'll talk about who we like, why we like them, et cetera. Whereas people who work in other lines of work may not be so open. And I get a lot of none of your business, John.
It can be used against you.
Not your business. Who are you voting for? Why? Tell me. Yeah. Not your business, John. Sorry. Not going to tell you.
Yes. But I mean, that's my opinion, is that people... like to be asked, but I get a lot of telephone surveys, and the telephone surveys work better because people, you're not really, don't know the person.
Right.
But, you know, I get some that's my opinion. They lie. They lie. They lie. They lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's popular to say, I'm against so-and-so. You're going to say it. If you're living up in Peekskill, and you're living up in Cortland, which is heavy Trump country.
Right.
Nobody's going to say they're voting for Biden.
Right.
It's not going to do it.
The race for the state Senate seat, the 40th state Senate district, once held by Republican Terrence Murphy, defeated by Pete Harkham, who was once the majority head of the county board on the Democratic side in Westchester a couple of years ago. Pete Harkham running for re-election against one-time Westchester County executive Rob Astorino on his home turf, on Pete Harkham's home turf, from different parts of the state Senate district. And a few days later, it looks like Astorino has it, or does he, John?
Well, that's where the absentee ballots come in. How soon are they going to be adjudicated, and how many are in that district? We do not know because they're not telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And
why don't they tell us? I mean, isn't it good to have a number overall?
Well, let's face it. If the deficit, I mean, right now, Harkham has a 3,000 vote lead, I recall. Correct?
This seems to be going back and forth. One point, Astorino led, then Harkham led, then Astorino led.
Astorino once led by 7,000 votes.
No.
Yeah, yep. And now it's turned around. Okay, so the question is, how many absentee ballots are in that district?
And where are they from in the district, and can we expect another turnaround at this point?
Well, this is it. This is it for Astorino. He loses this. He is through in politics. And Republicans have nobody to run against Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Unless they go with George Latimer for governor, which I would... George wouldn't turn Republican, but you never know.
I wouldn't want to be governor anymore. I would say
you never know.
You never know. And the job George Latimer has done during this pandemic, obviously,
you might want to strike that, Colin, statement. But
I speak based on my conversations with public officials and others around the county, Democrat, Republican. They've talked about the way the county executive has jumped in and treated everybody like a Westchesterite and not a Democrat or a Republican. And in situations like this, you build your brand, obviously, and I think George Latimer has had an opportunity to do that. Other key races around Westchester, 93rd Assembly seat, the eastern part of the county from White Plains, jutting all the way up 684 to the Putnam and Fairfield County, Connecticut line. The state assemblyman, David Buchwald, ran for the nomination on the Democratic side for Anita Lowey's congressional seat. He lost that. It was expected he'd be a finalist for that. He's giving up the assembly seat. And the winner there seems to be Bedford County Supervisor Chris Burdick. I use that word knowing that anything could happen still.
Yes, although Burdick does seem to have a reasonably good lead, and he led it essentially wire to wire in the popular vote.
Are there enough absentee
ballots
to make
we'll
it still for his opponent?
But I think Burdick will probably prevail. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you never know whether White Plains loves him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, too. I don't think there's a way Chris Burdick can lose this race. And yet, until all the votes are counted, especially this year, it's like you can't check off the column until you have every tally in and then nobody says, I want a recount.
Yes, and God forbid, they're even saying people are correcting ballots with Sharpies in the...
Yeah. I heard that whole...
On the right-wing press. Now, you can't do that. That's the whole point, that you can't do it with a Sharpie.
What about a hanging chad?
You can't go over you can't cross out and then mark something else. That's because the machine kicks that out.
I heard some explanation about the Sharpie doesn't leave a smudge that you could look at it and say, well, who did that? And I mean, how ridiculous are we getting where an election comes down to a Sharpie or a ballpoint pen?
Or a hanging shed that did a 2000 pen. In the year 2000. Another despicable Supreme
Sharpie, Court. The Sharpie discussion makes you long for the days of the hanging chad. When I heard Sharpie, I said, wait a second, a Sharpie? I mean, maybe I'll just use a pencil next time. and you can take it and erase it and do whatever you want with
it. Well, I always use a pen for that reason.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's very hard to doctor those. And if you have to doctor, you know, half a million of them, it'll take forever to count.
It'll take forever to do this. Yeah. So
yes. It may. We may not have a president before
the electoral college in early December. Until the college meets, or maybe even beyond that at that point.
Yes. It depends on how these crazy lawsuits that are flying out of Washington.
I have a feeling
like buzzards.
Lawsuits, and as things move through the courts, and what courts get to decide, how high up do courts get to decide, where do all these cases land eventually, and who's making those decisions?
You make a great point, because you can always appeal it up.
You can always appeal, right.
And they have to take their best case.
Appeal again after that. So all of a sudden, the networks may have their four-year dream. If I were running a network, I would want that.
Well, you know, this isn't really funny, because it really has dire implications for the entire country.
Consequences, without a doubt. Like Barack Obama said and Donald Trump has said, Donald Trump, I think, mimicking Barack Obama and what he said, elections have consequences. And right now, especially, this one seems to have more consequence than any other in recent memory.
No, perhaps since the 1860 election, which created the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. As it turned out. So
yes,
now, as we move across Westchester and we look at races that seemed to be pretty much in the bag mm-hmm. since the primaries, we look at the district attorney race. Mimi Rocha against the incumbent Anthony Scarpino. Rocha had a big rolling kind of an edge, I think, since the primary. And she had a lot going for her in her corner. It seems like she has it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
countywide. So every absentee ballot that has to be counted could weigh in on that. I don't think she's going to pull a Biden here, but you never know with these absentee ballot quantities. That's why the biggest thing that's missing in these is, particularly on the national level, the actual number of absentees left, who's going to count. And I tell you, the Arizona and the Nevada results now that they've been reporting all week, where Biden has been steadily holding a lead, and, well, that may be out the window if they find enough of this stuff to overturn it.
Right. And then Trump goes back definitely to Georgia and to Pennsylvania if he winds up losing those states. And we got a real free-for-all here at that point.
Well, the thing in Pennsylvania is that it's definitely looking now that Biden will win it. And the question is, can they throw it out on technicalities?
Right. Which the Supreme Court made that decision about 10 days ago, where Amy Coney Barrett, the newest justice, decided not to. And she did the right thing, recused herself, I think, because she was not familiar with the case. Now, if this moves back in front of the Supreme Court again, Pennsylvania, what should be allowed, not allowed, I think by that point she will be familiar with the case and you might get a different result at that point.
Well, the problem here is the Supreme Court, if they consider now themselves a team of strict constructionists, and I believe the Constitution says everybody should be counted.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if you make a decision that says we can't count these people because they didn't get their votes in on time, that's a new thing.
Or what about disallowing votes based upon an inaccurate or an unreadable or no existing postmark? I could send in my ballot to Pennsylvania from Oregon if I wanted to at that point.
Yeah, true. That could happen. Mm-hmm. But this is it. You either, if the states either decide the rules or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the Supreme Court is really on the hot seat.
No question.
If it ever gets to them and the decision in favor of disallowing votes that got mailed in and were received but not counted till after Election Day ended is beyond belief that they would make that decision if they really believed in democracy.
All right, so
if they really believed in it. It's a real litmus test for them.
No question. Like it was.
Are they on the court because they played ball? Or are they on the court for truth, justice, and the American way?
All right, so let's talk about what constitutes a valid vote. For example, some say if you're mailing in a ballot, an absentee ballot, and the Board of Elections does not receive it by Election Day, well, too bad. You're out of luck. And yet, take the standpoint from, I'm deciding it's 8:59 p.m., my state, the polls close 9 p.m. It's taken me until now to decide who I'm voting for in any particular race. I want my vote counted. You have this absentee system, so I want my vote counted regardless of how you get it and when you get it. I decided now 1 minute before the legal cutoff point for a ballot as if I were going
to vote. That's why they do the extensions to avoid that problem.
Do we need a national standard?
Why should you? Why should you? But heck, if you have enough money and you owe the IRS enough money, they will give you extensions.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. The more money you owe, the more they extend you. Because
Do we need a national standard, state by state, a national standard, one size fits all about how ballots can be accepted and tabulated? Because I think in this country, I know it's states' rights, but we have too much of a divergence, too many issues in this country based upon...
But we always did. We always did.
Right. We always did. But for a national standard for voting, where everybody falls into the same column so we don't get into situations like we're in today, could this be a history lesson one day for balloting and how it should be done? That everybody either gets their ballot in by Election Day, whether you show up in person to vote or get it in the mail, but by... A certain time
democracy is also a COVID victim here. Democracy is a COVID victim because all this early voting and absentee ballots were put out by Governor Cuomo particularly and to avoid people getting infected by massively going to the polls.
Now, I never got my absentee ballot for the general election, so I went and voted at my polling place. And I went, like you said, after 10 a.m., middle of the day, I pretty much got in and out, which was good. But we have to make sure that if we stick to this kind of a system that everybody gets their absentee ballot, whether or not you use it or not, that's up to you.
Also, I think truly if you're going to have early voting, you have to expand it. But if you are not, you could also decide to outlaw early voting and go back to the old way.
Right.
You have to vote on Election Day.
A different way if we do it the right way, which is still...
I mean, that could be done. I mean, that's one of the things I bet you that Mr. President is going to do in the next 3 months, the last 3 months of his term. If it does indeed become the last, he's going to introduce legislation or executive orders or whatever to eliminate early voting, to eliminate absentee ballots able to float past the Election Day to eliminate them entirely. That's another thing you can do. You have to vote in person.
Right. What about someone?
We can go back to the black ball in a box situation.
Right. So what if somebody's medically incapacitated? Like, let's say my mother was the last few years of her life and she voted absentee.
Well, it depends. If you think you're the senior, if everybody thinks the seniors are worth listening to,
right,
then you'll let them vote and figure out a way. But if you feel that they are against you, besides, there's going to be a lot of seniors as we baby boomers launch into the medicating years.
Some important issues and questions here. raised by John Bailey. John Bailey is the executive editor and publisher of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com. Here on Westchester Talk Radio, I'm John Marino. We are produced by Shark, with a C, not a K, Creative, and made possible by our good friends at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities. Right.
It's too bad we're not getting paid like the commentators on the networks, aren't we?
Well,
we could opinionate forever. We could raise all sorts of issues ad infinitum.
Yes. White Plains Hospital, thanks to our heroes at White Plains Hospital for all they've done throughout this COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. And we'll get to the COVID-19 pandemic in just a moment. Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. John Bailey, just to touch on a couple of more election issues, House of Representatives in Westchester, Nita Lowey retiring and Elliot Engel getting defeated. Nita Lowey, of course, her seat, the Democratic primary, we touched upon it when we talked about David Buchwald leaving his post, 93rd Assembly District. He ran. David Carlucci ran. State Assemblyman also, too, David Carlucci.
And Carlucci is gone. We wonder what he's going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. And Mondaire Jones ran. He was an upstart, considered to be, but Mondaire Jones bested the field, and Mondaire Jones looks like I've said about a number of races since primary day, seemed to be a shoo-in, and Mondaire Jones will take over now from Nita Lowey. Definitely an historic accomplishment for Mondaire Jones, and our congratulations to him.
Yes, it is. However, he is going to be basically a person in the House of Representatives with no power.
Why?
He's a freshman.
Okay. Some freshmen make their marks like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, she's cute.
Okay.
It's a lot of press because that she's very photogenic. She says interesting, controversial stuff. And she sort of toned that rhetoric down a little, but she is a strong person.
She makes things happen. There's no doubt about that. I think she personally stopped Amazon from coming to Queens, to Astoria.
Well, that was the result of her inexperience. She took a position that would popularize her with her constituents, but perhaps was not smart enough in the long run.
And yet it worked. And isn't that what politics is about? Does it?
That's
work?
Right. It's short-term success for me and ignoring the long-term public good. Right. We could use Amazon right now.
Back as a rumor. Jones has an issue that he feels strongly and passionately about, and he knows how to make his case and have an impact as a freshman.
Well, the jury is out. We'll see what happens.
All right.
Remember, Nita Lowey ran the House Appropriations Committee, one of the most powerful positions in Congress. We lost her because of that, and we had no one as backup to take over her in that position. Do we?
No, and by the way, our congratulations to Nita Lowey, too. I know Nita since she first ran for office, late 80s, when I was over at WFAS in White Plains. I remember when she came in to record a commercial, I believe, first time she came for an interview. I remember meeting her specifically, time one, back there in the late 80s, and I followed her career very closely, and what a great job she's done, and we are no doubt going to miss her. Mondaire Jones, though, we know is going to try to make his own mark. You can't be, and I think he understands, you can't be Nita Lowey. You got to be Mondaire Jones. And that's what I think every public official has to realize. You can't be the person you might be succeeding if that person happens to be from the same party as you. You have to be you and make your own mark. And Jamal Bowman, same thing for him, taking over now. He defeated Elliot Engel in a surprise run for Congress. He won. Wins it here in the general election pretty easily, and he's got to make his own mark, too. He has that educational background working in the school system in New York City.
Yeah, by that. Now, Elliot Engel defeated himself because of a careless mouth.
Do you think Mark killed him? That much of a difference? I think he was careening downhill already by that point.
No, but, I mean, he did say it. He said, you can never open your mouth ad lib as a politician. It is very dangerous. I know, we talk on the radio. We sometimes say things ad lib that we truly regret. And but congressmen and senators officials everywhere can't do that. That's why they're really reluctant to talk to the press.
Mm-hmm. Right. We do have to work to get a comment from people sometimes.
Oh, work. They won't even call you back if you're good, you know.
No. And then you have to, I hate to say,
if you're good, they never call you back because they know they'll
have to face a hard question. Call 4 or 5 times or more until you get what you want.
No, I call them once. They don't call back. Adios, amigo.
I'll keep calling. Like I tell people, they may take my call only because it's me calling again and say, let's get rid of that pest. Give him to me. This way he doesn't call again. So, but
right. I mean, you call with a perfectly innocent question, like saying, we understand there's a rumor out that Amazon is going to take over the Westchester Broadway Theater. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the rumor. And I asked the County Department of Communications, is this true or is this just whistling biscuit? What do
and
you know?
And the word is what?
Never call me back. When they don't call you back with even a denial, that leads me to suspicion that the rumor is true.
Now, you touched upon something we wanted to get to, obviously. The Westchester Broadway Theater, not there anymore after so many years in Elmsford, a victim of COVID. And talk about that situation there with Amazon.
Well, at this point, that was about 3 weeks ago, they dropped this bomb that they were closing abruptly. And they have done that. No shows, nothing. And they've worked out a deal with the Westchester White Plains Performing Arts Center to offer gratuity tickets to tickets that have not been refunded. Now, they have, they are not refunding the tickets for the big group performances, et cetera, because as part of ticket sales, you have to sign, you accept them with the no refunds proviso. No refunds. Mm-hmm. Now, to my way of thinking, this is really gross because they should refund it. They should. I mean, you're not putting on the show. It was your decision to close, and now you're keeping whatever
people
you got.
Money. Yeah.
Keeping what you got.
COVID in Westchester, cases seemingly on the rise a bit again. Where do we stand with that?
Not good. The latest numbers over the last 7 days indicate a 2.1% infection rate in Westchester County. That is over the limit. And for the county. Now, so far, the region hasn't shut down.
Yeah. Might we get shut down again?
Yes, they haven't shut down the region yet. But Port Chester today has been designated a yellow center for COVID. They got 119 new infections yesterday and 96 the day before. And this is just good for poor Port Chester.
No, that's not a big area too, Port Chester. So they have those kind of numbers. Maybe.
And Yonkers is up. They're at 309. New Rochelle is up. I'm doing this from memory of the chart. But that chart is very misleading that they put out because you only see what they've got right now. You don't see a trend chart. You know how much this has been going up.
Right.
There's no way you can interpret that. The only way you can do it is individually by county on the governor's website tracker.
So how is the county reacting to this?
Pardon me?
How is the county reacting to this?
I don't think they're reacting strongly enough to enforce the laws. I think that they should issue fines, you know, if people are found without masks. I don't think they need to arrest people, but I'd say a $25, $30 fine.
50, like in New York City, 50.
Yeah.
But 30 bucks makes no difference.
Fines would make a difference for the young people.
Okay.
Because their parents would have to pay for it, and the parents wouldn't like that.
Right.
Yes, right. And because they're minors, so the parent is responsible.
As we head towards the end of 2020 here now, we're talking.
So, no, I think they got to enforce it stronger. They really do, because it's going up. It's going to hit 3 by next week at the present rate.
We're talking next year's county budgets, and Westchester has a shortfall, obviously, and yet We hear word that there may not be spending adjustments in areas where you can adjust and maybe increases in areas where you should not increase at the moment. What's the word on that? What kind of sense are you getting from the county about adjusting the budget for the new year?
Well, for months now, we have been placing our faith in a second stimulus, and we've been placing our faith in the federal government issuing a huge bailout to New York State.
All right, so don't we have to operate at this point, because we should have had that second stimulus by the end of July. Here we are 4 months later. Shouldn't we be operating from the standpoint of we may never get it? If we do, great, but let's operate as if that never arrives. Even if we have a new president, I say, as much as the Democrats seem like
they can't get it passed unless he wins the Georgia seats.
Right. And you can't guarantee that something is going to happen in Congress where they designate so much more money. Maybe some, maybe not too much more. So we have to operate as if we're not getting much at this point, if anything at all.
Yes, exactly. You have to operate as you can't get money. That means the county has the borrowing power of their wonderful bond rating, which they're always crowing about. Let's use it. Let's use the fund balance, okay? Uh-huh. Let's clean out that fund balance and knock off this deficit and start 2021 fresh, instead, either by paying it as part of debt. And they've got $150 million they supposedly have to spend on Playland to fix it up. They're already fixing the Derby Racer. You know, I saw that over the weekend, and they're fixing the merry-go-runs, and I'm told those are the only things they're fixing.
All right, so, is it worth it to fix Playland at this moment, not knowing what the warm weather months of 2021 hold at this point?
Absolutely. They're fixing it. Why fix it unless you're already made a secret arrangement with Standards take it over if Standards will pay for it? I'm just speculating here. We have not heard where that Standard Amusements negotiation is. So much for transparency.
It's been a while since we heard anything about that.
Yes, we were supposed they were having a meeting in August. And
it's November.
It is now November the 6th. Uh-huh. So, I mean, talk about transparency. There is none here. Mm-hmm. This is an important thing. They're negotiating. How about Fisher, Price and Latimer getting together, holding a news conference, and saying we're trying to work things out? And shackles of the press would get off their heels on this.
Could it be that the county has COVID and other things to deal with?
Oh, the poor dears. They've had COVID for months, and they have downplayed it, and they're saying they're controlling it. Well, right now, they're not. They have had, I think now, 7 straight weeks of whooshing up infection rates. However, they content themselves, well, it's not as much as it was back in March. Well, that doesn't matter what it was in March and how low you got it down. It's how high it's going now.
John Bailey, you are the publisher, editor of the White Plains Citizen Net Reporter. You are at home in White Plains, where the White Plains Citizen Net Reporter works, where home base is. In the city of White Plains, a couple of controversial developmental issues, one on Broadway, one on Gedney Way. And oh, by the way, the one on Gedney Way has been going for, 11 years now?
Yes, year 11.
Year 11, I'm counting.
Year 11. That is the greatest problem White Plains faces.
It's like the endless election cycle.
Yes. Well, as I say, it's the hearing that never ends, you know.
Right.
But I mean, we got 52 North Broadway, and they're going to have a big meeting on November the 18th about that, which is supposedly going to be in the White Plains Performing Arts Center and socially distanced. And so we will see where that is going to go. My feeling is that they are probably going to approve it because that's what they do.
Right. What they say, John, if you build it, they will come.
Yes. They're really crossing their fingers on that, because we got apartments going up. 55 Bank Street is now completed, and they're trying to rent that up. And you're going to have the I can't keep the name straight, but the one at Post Road and Mamaroneck, which is putting up, I think, about a 20 to 30 story monster building up there. And it really, you can see it all over town. And then you got a assisted living facility, not assisted, but a senior living facility down across Bloomingdale's with a shuttle to ease you across the street.
Uh-huh.
That's a joke. But I mean, anyway, we are hopeful these will fill up, but I'm telling you, senior living is the new profit center of the real estate market.
And it has been
charged $9,000 to $12,000 a month to live in these places.
Right.
When my aunt was in back in 22,000, she was paying $4,000 a month. So and 20 years ago, she was paying $4,000 for a very nice facility in Brandywine, an excellent place for her.
Uh-huh.
And but that was only because my father, her brother, had provided excellent investment advice for her. But that's the whole thing. You cannot afford to live in comfort as a senior unless you really plan now for it. It's a sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to see $12,000 a month for rent.
Right. You know, they talk about, come here, enjoy your senior years, but if you don't have money,
bring your martini at 5.
And what can you do? There's not much you can do.
And you can't, and by that age, you probably can't drink as much as you would like.
All right, now over on Gedney Way, the French American School of New York, that's the real never-ending election-type story.
Yes. Well, that is an example of what happens when you have an aggressive neighborhood against a project. The developer is at a disadvantage because even if the city approves it, they can... If the city does not cross their T's and dot their I's instead of dotting their T's and crossing their I's, they can be sued. And that is what the Gedney Association has done to them. And they have pro bono a suit all the way up to the Brooklyn Appellate Court, which agreed to hear it.
Okay, so why is there so much opposition on the part of the Gedney Association?
Well, they didn't want the big school there. They cut down the size of it, and they didn't even want that. And now the school they also didn't fund it. School didn't have the money. They couldn't get the money to start funding the building. And now it's a dead issue. I don't think it's ever going to be built. They have to sell the property. But they can't as long as litigation exists.
And we may not know the final results, like the election for Gedney Way, Fasny, the French American School of New York.
Fasny will always be with us.
A year and a half or so, right, is when it finally appears on the court.
It takes a long time because, remember, John, the courts are so backed up because of this COVID thing that it's being pushed out. So your best bet to avoid doing time is to appeal or whatever it is. Appeal and you never go to jail, right?
I have.
You're always free on appeal.
This case may go on until after you and I have departed this earth, the way things are going at this point.
Look, they are crossing their fingers that every reporter gets COVID. That's what they're doing.
John Bailey, White Plains Citizen Net reporter, WhitePlainsCitizenNetReporter.com, publisher, editor. John Bailey, always a pleasure to talk to you. Your insight is second to none. We thank you, and let's talk again.
I appreciate that, but I just like to look out. I see what I see, you know, and a lot of people do not see when the emperor has no clothes.
You, luckily we have clothes on here.
So. Yes, we do. Exactly.
Call it as you see it, and that's what it's all
about. There's a concept for a network, Naked News Network, NNN.
Network, there you go.
That's right.
All right, John Bailey, we thank you. White Plains.
My pleasure.
Executive
so long, everyone.
And John Bailey, BikeLaneCitizenNetworkReporter.com. I'm John Marino, and we are Westchester Talk Radio, WestchesterTalkRadio.com. On the beat in Westchester, produced by Shark Creative. See the Shark logo behind me in orange and blue. That's Shark with a C, not a K. And we are made possible by our good friends over at Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities right through April of 2021. Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. Hightower Westchester and Hightower, they manage your wealth to a fiduciary standard. White Plains Hospital, thank you to our heroes at White Plains Hospital for all they've done on the front lines throughout the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020, which unfortunately seems like it's going to bleed over into 2021 at this point. Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon, Park Sterling Realty in Bronxville, and Michael Labriolo Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. We thank you one and all. Catch all of our Westchester, Fairfield County, Putnam, and Dutchess Talk Radio programming on our YouTube channel. That is Shark Creative YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.